And open it to Book of Job, chapter 9. Job is a good man, a godly man. He's a husband and a father. He's a friend and a helper to the poor and the down and out. And fears God and tries to live right. He's moral, honest, and ethical. Doesn't lust after other women. He's just probably one of the best men in the whole Bible. And yet, trouble came his way. He just absolutely couldn't figure out why. He said, "Oh, that which I greatly feared is come upon me." He said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid?" He wasn't a lustful man. He said he prayed for his kids, lest they come into temptation, a snare of the devil. He feared God. He was generous with the poor. And yet, here he is sitting outside of town. All of his children are dead. All of his money's gone. All of his friends have turned on him. And his wife said, "Won't you curse God and die?" And Job says something there in chapter 10, verse 1, that we've all said at one time or another, in one way or another. May not have used these exact words, but I guarantee you had this same sentiment. And Job said, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." Job chapter 10. Then it's okay. Well, it says 9 at the top of the page, but it's actually chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. "My soul is weary," just tired. "My soul is weary of my life." Let's pray for a minute. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. You've been so incredibly good to us. We have no right to get down in the mouth. We have no right to complain. If the rest of our life went bad, we've gotten more than we deserve. If you took us home tonight, we'd still have to say God has been good us. Yet you know how we are prone to whining and complaining and mully grubbing, and it just seems to run in our nature. I pray you'd help us with that tonight. Lord, help us to realize how good you've been, how abundant your mercy has been, how long-suffering you've been. Help us to lift up our chin and take a fresh look, get a new start, and face tomorrow in the world with a better attitude. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it'd be hard put, if you read first 8 chapters of Job, you'd be hard put to conclude that Job didn't have a right to be the way he was. And if you were intellectually and morally honest, you'd have to probably concede that you'd have been a lot more down in the mouth than Job was. I mean, when we look at what it takes to get us down in the mouth, and then look what happened to Job, the truth is the man took it pretty good as far as I can tell. He's kind of a hero in my book. If I'd gone through all that Job's gone through, I don't know if I'd have still been there or not. Amen? And so I'm not going to find fault with Job and say, "Well, he should have took it like a man." But he took it pretty good. God just put a lot on him. Amen. But I got to thinking about that and thinking about human nature and the way we are and how we tend to complain and whine about our circumstance, our situation. And I want to bring you a little message tonight entitled "Bouncing the Blues, Managing the Mully Grubs, Dumping Depression, and Mastering Melancholy." You probably had one or the other of them at one time or another. Amen? You may not have ever been in Job's shoes, but I bet you woke up some morning just on the wrong side of the bed, and life just looked like the pits. And you couldn't figure out why you going to work, and what's the point in the whole thing. Amen. Or you're going down the road living your life and something just goes wrong and just upsets your apple cart and you're sitting around for 3 or 4 days going, sucking your thumb and whining, you know. You ever been there? You made plans and you had everything all figured out and somebody jumped in there and threw a monkey wrench in it and stripped all the gears out of your plans and it all went sideways and now you're sulking because you didn't get to do what you wanted to do. And you know, your plans didn't come out like you had them planned. And anybody ever been there? Sometimes you ever get up and you just got the blues. You say, what's wrong with you? Ah, nothing. Just kind of out of sorts today. Well, how come? I don't know. And you really don't have a reason for it. You just woke up that way. Amen. They say, well, I just got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Well, lay down and roll over, son. There's two sides. Amen. It's amazing what gets us down and what gets us to feeling sorry for ourselves or sulking over things or getting depressed about stuff. My dad, if it rains 2 or 3 days in a row, if it's overcast and cloudy and rain, he just gets in a terrible depression. Just gets him down something awful. And you go down and try to talk to him, you can't get a civil word out of him because he's just despondent. He's depressed. I said, what's the matter? I don't know. But as soon as the weather clears up, so does his attitude. Amen. I see bad weather doesn't bother me. If it gets rainy or snowy or cold, I just get a lap full of books and sit down in a chair, get me a bunch of snacks, you know, a big glass of milk, chocolate chip cookies. I'm good to go for a week. Amen. I don't. But now I got other things that get under my skin. Amen. I don't know anybody that's immune to mully grubbing. You know, whining and complaining about your situation or you didn't get your way or things didn't go like you wanted them to or bad news has come in your life. And, oh man, we got a letter yesterday. Thank God it come when it did. But that thing said they're canceling our supplemental insurance. The government is. Not the insurance company. The government passed a stupid law that says I can't have that supplement anymore. Man, that's a lick there. I mean, it just aggravated me and upset me because it's going to cost me a fortune to replace it. Amen. And so I thought, boy, here's a good place to get down. I mean, I could whine and cry about this one for a couple of weeks. Amen. And I don't know what good it'd do. It ain't going to change nothing. But we just have a natural inclination to do those kind of things, see? When something upsets us, when something goes wrong, when somebody lets us down, or when we fail, we get the mully grubs. We whine and complain about our situation and how bad things are. Or we suffer from depression. We just get down and life is more of a burden than it's worth, you know. I don't know why I go on. And you go down and spend tons of money at the shrink. You take all those antidepressants and antipsychotics and this, that, and the other, and they don't fix nothing. Amen. You ever think about this? Anybody that ever went to a shrink and took medicine that they gave you, he never one time ever gave you anything to cure your problem. They just get you doped up so you don't have to deal with it. And then when you get off the dope, there it is. Amen. I don't know why people go to shrinks. That's the dumbest thing in the world. It's the most worthless profession known to man. Just dumb. They never fix anything. They say, well, you need to come in for counseling to handle your depression. you tend to melancholy, and so we need to help you with that. It's a personality defect. What's he going to fix? He's not going to fix anything. I'm going to do all the talking. He's going to do all the listening. Amen. And when I get up and leave there, nothing's changed. Nothing's been fixed. My life is just like it always was. I'm the same person I was before I came in. I just gave that guy $60 to $125 an hour to let me talk. Why, son, I can go down to the park and sit on the bench and talk to the squirrels. Amen. One squirrel or, you know, a four-legged squirrel or two-legged squirrel. What's the difference? squirrel, squirrel. Now, depression and melancholy and money grubbing and the blues have a lot in common. They're not exactly the same thing, but they are four brothers in the same family. And everybody, some time or another, gets hit by one of them. You very seldom find a person that's upbeat all the time, that never gets depressed or never gets down or never feels sorry for himself or never whines. There may be that creature around someplace, but they must be on the endangered species list. And in the Bible, they were plentiful in the Bible. Bible said in Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? O God, my soul is cast down within me." He's just depressed. He's beside himself. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, the Bible said, "And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." There's a guy that was just totally discouraged. He had had victory after victory after victory, but he had run a long time, he was tired and he was weary, and he suffered one little defeat. And because of his weakened condition, he says, "Oh, well, it just ain't worth it. This is the end. I just can't do anymore. Just go ahead and take me home, Lord. I'm sick of this whole thing." Jeremiah chapter 12, the Bible said, "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" You ever let that get to you? It ever aggravates you and frustrates you that you're trying to live right and do right and you ain't cheating on your husband and you're not cheating on your wife and you're paying your taxes and going to church and putting your money in the plate and paying the preacher and all that, you know, and things just don't go your way. Here's some guy down here who's a whoremonger and reprobate, spends all of his money on liquor and dope and this, that, and the other, and got a lifestyle like an alley cat. And every time he turns around, he's winning the lotto. Everything goes his way. He can step in a mud hole and come out smelling like a rose. However y'all smell. And yeah. You ever let that aggravate you? Sometimes other people's success, other people's prosperity kind of gets you down because you know, well, I know them, bless God, and they don't deserve that. Amen? But you do. So I want to talk to you this evening about them four brothers there. The blues and muddy grubs and depression and melancholy, they're all in the same family. And the world spends, and I'm not exaggerating, they spend billions with a B, it may be in the trillions of dollars every year for counseling and medication and therapy to help take care of those problems. Now, if they had a good King James Bible and believed God, they could take care of it themselves. Amen? Now, in order to take care of a problem and defeat it, you have to understand it. You have to know something about it. You have to know what causes it. And so let me give you five or six things here. And there's a whole list, but I'm just going to take major headings, and then you could take each one of those major headings and put 25 or 30 little headings under it, you know. These are broad headings of things that cause us to whine and complain or be depressed or be melancholy, to be despondent, to be down and out. And these are common, typical things. And I'll just give you the general heading and you can fill it in with your particular problem. So what causes us to be depressed or melancholy or moan and groan? Well, a lot of times health is a real problem. You get a health problem, and the first thing you want to say, "Well, why did this happen to me? I wasn't expecting this. What did I do? Lord, is there sin in my life? Or are you trying to tell me something?" When our health goes, we get scared. We're nervous. We're apprehensive. I tell you what, boy, being scared about your health is good for your prayer life, though, isn't it? Amen. I tell you what, men and women hadn't prayed in weeks or months. They think they got heart trouble or cancer or this, that, and the other. They can get on that prayer chain, son. It's amazing how we operate. Now, a lot of times, but when people think there's something wrong with their health, oh, they get down in the mouth. They want to give up. I'm going to die. Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but you are sooner or later, no matter what. Yeah, but I didn't think it was going to be now. Amen. Man, my wife went there a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at, I don't know what we were looking for. I wasn't this, though, I know that. Amen. That guy come out there and said, you got to have open heart surgery. I went, I just had a heart attack. We wasn't looking for that. They told my wife when she got out of the hospital, they said, now one of the things you have to deal with besides the soreness and the pain is you're going to have days of depression because you don't recover like you think you're going to. You think when you get out of surgery and get back home, you're going to be your old self again. And you're looking at 2 or 3 months before your old self. And so one day you're going to get up and feel good. The next day you're going to get up and feel bad, and depression will set in. So what's wrong? Health problems, okay, can cause you to be depressed or despondent or melancholy. Money problems get us down. Man, I've seen people just fret themselves into a stew over money problems. They've got bills, they've got obligations, and some circumstance, they don't have the money to take care of it. And so they fret and worry and whine and cry and think, oh, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. I'm going to be embarrassed. Everybody will know I couldn't pay my bills. And you know. Now, you understand that doing all that don't help a thing. Doesn't fix anything. Amen. It's like a story I heard one time. This fella owed the mob $100,000. And he had to pay it at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he is up in a motel room, pacing back and forth, walking, and the floor creaked. And the guy underneath him was sick and tired of it. So finally, he went up and knocked on the door, and he said, buddy, what is your problem? Why don't you go to bed? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're keeping me awake. The guy said, man, he said, in the morning, he said, at 9:30, I owe the mob $100,000, and I don't have it. He said, all I've got is 10 grand. The guy said, have you done everything you can to get it? I've done everything. Have you borrowed from everybody you can borrow from? I've borrowed from everybody I can borrow from. There's nothing left you can do. He said, no, all I can do now is wait for 9:30 in the morning. He said, okay then, if you've done all you can, go to sleep. I mean, you've done all you can do. But we'll fret, won't we? Lay awake half the night. Run 100 different scenarios through your head, how you're going to handle it, what you're going to say. Have you ever noticed it never goes that way? Never goes that way. You want to get despondent or melancholy, just have health problems or money problems or family problems. I don't guess anything tears us up. Health is probably the worst thing, but next to that is family trouble. Amen? I'll be honest with you. As long as everything's going all right in my family, me and my wife are tight, and we're in pretty good shape with the kids, I'm pretty much good to go. You come to me with your problems, now, honest, I am sympathetic. And I've had enough problems with my own family and my own children to empathize with you about yours. Amen? And I won't throw rocks at you if you don't throw rocks at me. Amen? I mean, I have to preach what's right, but I tell you what, son, I understand if you got trouble. I've had some myself. My kids have done a lot of things they wasn't raised to do. Amen? And they've done a lot of things I can't explain. And they've done a lot of things that's embarrassed me to death. Amen? Now, what did I get talking about kids for? Oh, yeah. As long as everything's okay with me and mine, you come to me with yours, I'll be sympathetic. I can understand. I've probably been through most of it. At one time or another. Amen. But I'll tell you the honest truth, I can deal with your problems. I've never been depressed over somebody else's family problem. Now, I've been concerned. I've wept over the problems some of our church members have had. Breaks my heart. I see them making terrible mistakes. I know there's going to be an awful price to pay. But the truth is, I can pray about that thing and lay down and go to sleep. Unless it's mine. Then I can lay there all night long. Amen. Get all upset and weep and cry and fret, and one minute I want to wring their neck and, you know, pinch their head off. The next minute you just want to tell them how much you love them. And oh, man, family problems are real rip, boy. I mean, it gets you. I mean, if you got somebody you really love, if you've got children, grandchildren you really love, and family trouble comes along, it's hard on you. Amen. I don't know of anything that can get you down in the mouth quicker, that can make you more despondent than family trouble. I'll tell you some other things that get you down. Envy and jealousy. Now, the first thing everybody's going to say is, well, I'm not envious, I'm not jealous. Which, generally speaking, ladies and gentlemen, simply isn't so. Jealousy and envy and power are as fundamental to human nature as breathing air. You ask any shrink, Jung, Freud, I mean, any of them guys, and everything was a power struggle. It's all about power. Okay. Now, I don't know whether they're right or not. I'm just telling you what they teach. But I do know it plays a big role in everything. Amen? And we see people that get a break we don't get, and we think we deserve it. We envy sometimes. Somebody gets a promotion, or the ball bounces their way two or three times in a row, and it don't bounce your way. Don't kid me. You get a little jealous sometimes. You know you're as good at it as they are, maybe better. And you work as hard, you're as faithful. Amen. How come you can't get a break? Now, see, you probably wouldn't use that word envy or jealousy, but that's what that really is. We just color it up so it don't make us feel bad, because we don't want to think of ourselves as being an envious person or a jealous person. But the truth is, sometimes we is. Amen. Jealousy in all kind of places. I know husbands that have a certain amount of rancor against their wives because their wives have more leisure time. They get to go shopping or do this, that, and the other, and we're out busting our backside 8, 10, 12 hours a day trying to make a living. Well, how come she gets to have all the fun and I have to do all the work? Cause you a boy. That's just the way it is. And if I remember right, didn't you say back there when you was courting her, if she'd just marry you and take care of your house and raise your children and warm your bed, that you'd give her everything she wanted? Now she's getting some of it and you don't like it. Amen. I know some men want their wife to work as hard as they do. I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I want mine to have a better life than I got. If my wife gets to spend a little time at the pool or go shopping, that thrills me to death. I'm glad I can provide that. Amen? But jealousy or envy shows up in some of the strangest places. I'll tell you something that causes us to get down in the mouth. Lack of self-image or self-worth. We feel bad about ourselves. And I've seen that. That's the strangest thing. I've seen people with all kind of talent and all kind of natural ability that had no self-confidence. And you say, that guy, that girl, I mean, they're smart, they're talented, they can do anything they want to do. But when you get to talking to them, they're always down in the mouth. Say, what's their problem? They got no confidence in themselves. They have low self-esteem. They have no positive image of themselves. You say, why is that? There's no explaining. It doesn't make sense. Here's some guy, I've seen people that ain't got enough talent or skill or ability to wipe their nose by themselves, and they're walking around like the cock of the walk, you know. I mean, just strutting their stuff. And I'm thinking, sit down, dummy. You can't spell your name without a dictionary. I can't explain why some people are like that. I just know that they are. Amen. I can give you almost an infinite list. What's some of the things that cause us to be depressed or despondent? Sometimes it's just biology. Hormones. Hormonal imbalance, they say. Doesn't that sound impressive? That means you've got some little trace mineral in there that's lacking. Or maybe sometimes you've got too much of it. But whatever it is, it's out of whack. And if we could get it back in balance, you'd be sane again. You only like you is because your biological system is whacked. Amen? Something's not working like it should. It's either not producing enough or it's producing too much. And it makes you nervous. It makes you jittery. It makes you despondent. It makes you suicidal. It doesn't have anything to do with your circumstance or condition in life. It has to do with what's going on inside your body, over which you have no control. I think sometimes that might be one of the worst, because it's easier to be sympathetic to somebody when you can see a reason for it. When your wife is just acting like a nut for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, you'd like to think that there was a reason for that. Now, I can't see them hormones. I just give her a bottle of estrogen and send her on her way. I got a preacher friend. He doesn't believe there's any hormonal imbalance. He doesn't believe that your body chemistry changes and that it's cyclic, you know. He thinks all women have demons. I'm serious the heart attack. He really believes that. Well, how come they come and go, brother? Just nutty as a fruitcake. Sometimes our problem is biology. Opposition to what we want to do can make us despondent or melancholy. And sometimes it's spiritual problems. So, preacher, I've just kind of been all out of sorts lately. I just hadn't felt like I've been myself. I've just kind of been down, you know, and I got the mully grubs, and I've just kind of been blue here lately. I just can't get back up. I can't be my normal self. And you get to talk to them, and the problem is a spiritual problem. They've moved away from God. Now, it's never God that moves away from you. But they've let something come back in their life that they had gotten rid of, or they're doing something they know they ought not to do. Amen? And sometimes it doesn't have to be sin. Maybe they ought to be doing something for God. They used to serve in an office or take care of a thing. They had a little ministry. They had some activity they did, and they've let it go, and God wants them to keep on doing it. And a lot of times, it's just a spiritual problem. It doesn't have to be a sinful problem. It just has to be that you're out of sync and out of step with God. And that can cause you to be depressed or despondent. See how easy it is? Now, I went and said all that to say this. Everybody suffers from it from time to time. Everybody has to deal with it some way or another. Problem is, most people end up dealing with it by taking dope. The solution to everybody's problem anymore, if you can't sleep 2 nights in a row, the thing to do is take sleep medicine. Let me tell you something. You know what the first lesson they teach every doctor is? If you go to med school, if you think I'm making this up, go check it out. Go to med school and find out, in the first class they take on internal medicine, you know what they tell them? Every medicine you ever took was a poison. Every medicine you take is a poison. It fixes one thing or covers up one thing, but it messes up something else. And if you took it excessively, they'll poison you. The less medicine you can take, the better. Amen? But we get a little despondent. We get a little depression. We can't sleep for a couple of nights. We go get on the junk. That stuff has long-term cumulative effects. You take it for months or years, and you mess up your head. And a lot of times, you don't get it back. You better be careful what you put in that oral cavity right there. Amen? Those prescription medicines and non-prescription medicine mess your head up, mess your body up, mess up your liver, your kidneys, your gallbladder. I mean, it'll mess you up. But the first thing people want to do these days is when they have a problem with depression or melancholy is they want to get on some kind of medicine. Don't do that. Get close to God. You don't have, listen to me. We say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, right? Do you really believe that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. I don't have to take any psychotic medicine. I don't have to take any antidepressants, and I don't need any sleep aids. If you get your heart and right and mind right with God and use God's plan for a peaceful heart, you don't need that junk. Amen. Now, I know there's some people who have chemical problems in their body that need attention to address the chemical imbalance. I'll grant you that. But just normal depression or normal melancholy, just feeling sorry for yourself, being a little down and out, not being able to sleep, most of that's no big deal, son. That's part of living. Learn to deal with it. I tell you what, you get sleepy enough, you won't need anything to put you to sleep. Amen. A lot of that's learned behavior. You start giving into it, and pretty soon you have to give into it. You ever have to get up in the middle of the night and go potty? And tomorrow night you get up at the same time and have to go potty? And tomorrow night you get up within 10 or 15 minutes at the same time every night. If you break that cycle for a night or two, if you can put it off from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, it's amazing you start waking up at 5 o'clock every night. How come that is? Okay. Your body learns that stuff. Amen. If you eat a lot, your stomach expands, right? You don't eat much, your stomach contracts. If you don't eat much for 3 or 4 days, you sit down to a big meal, you can't eat it. Your stomach has learned and adjusted to what it's used to getting. And your sleep habits are the same way and all the rest of that stuff. But the minute we have a problem, we want to run and get a bottle of medicine and take a handful of pills. Now, let me give you 7 things that will help you get over being melancholy or depression or the mully grubs or singing the blues. These are just simple little things, but they work. Amen. These are homeopathic remedies. I'm a holistic healer. I believe you can get help right out of this book. Now, I'm going to give you 7 things that I learned from the Bible. You want to be healthy and balanced and have a good outlook and be positive and upbeat? Get busy. Do something. Most people who are working hard and sweating and laboring and occupying their mind have little or no time for depression and self-pity parties. Amen? You got to be sitting around. You got to have time on your hands. If people would just get up and get busy, I'm not saying to get rid of all those problems, but he'd get rid of a bunch of them. The problem in America is that we got too much time on our hands. We can sit around and think about stuff. Amen. If you was having to work your tail off to make a living every day, you wouldn't have time for that self-indulgent nonsense. Like this lady went to a shrink one time. She went to him for years and years, and she didn't get any better. She just got worse. And then all one day she quit coming, and she didn't come for about a year. And the doctor found out that her husband had been real sick, and then her child was real sick, and she had to take care of her husband, and she had to take care of her children. And then they had financial problems and went through a bankruptcy and all kind of stuff. And finally, after about a year, he saw her. And he said, how you doing? They talked for a minute. And he said, well, have you been getting along? She said, oh, doctor, said, I've been much better. Said, all my problems are much more real now. what a blessing that is. Get busy. Do something. We got too much idle time, too much time to sit around, too much time to think about ourselves, too much time to indulge ourselves. It's almost like it's a sin or something anymore if you work. Amen? We got ladies that have got every, and us men have spoiled you. We got you a nice house and filled it full of every kind of gadget you can think of, and we let you quit cooking. Amen? It looked like after all that stuff we bought you, at least you can do is cook. Why have I got an oven? And a toaster oven and deep fat fryers and crock pots and a stainless steel cookware and all that stuff. We don't. In my house, we don't even get the plates dirty anymore. We got plastic plates, and we just get them out and throw them in the trash. And if you want a real meal, I mean, you come home and you're really hungry, where do you want to go? Amen. And so our ladies sitting around, most of them have got a lot of free time. Now, I'm not opposed to that as long as they do something worthwhile with it. Amen. I don't mind my wife going out. I bought her a swimming pool so she can lay out by the pool. But buddy, when there's old folks that need somebody to visit them, they ought to go. And they got folks in prison that need somebody to come and talk with them and befriend them, she ought to get up and go. Amen. She ought to do something. Say, why? Because if she's up and working and busy and involved and committed, she don't have time to sit around and feel sorry for herself and get down in the mouth. Go out there and talk to them. Some of them girls in jail, those girls got some real problems. Amen. Yours looks small compared to them. You go home feeling good about yourself. Men don't do much anymore. We think working... We think working 40 hours a week is wearing us out. Man, when I was growing up, my daddy worked from sunup to sundown and half a day every Saturday and took all the overtime he could get. Amen? I'm at work every morning at 7 o'clock. We don't open till 8. I'm there. I'm talking about in the building at 7. I was supposed to get an hour for lunch. I bet you it's been 2 or 3 years since I took more than 10 or 15 minutes. When I get there, I'm theirs. I go to work. Amen? And I give it all I've got all day long. I come home tired and weary. I don't want to do nothing when I get home. But I don't have no problem sleeping. Amen? Say, why? Because I've been busy all day. I've been working all day. Problem is, we got too many people standing around doing nothing. Now, if you've got one of them jobs where you can sit around and do nothing, you're some kind of supervisor or a paper pusher or whatever it is, then find some extracurricular thing. But get yourself busy, get yourself involved. Don't sit around and do nothing your whole life. You ought to be working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. That ought to be the norm. When I was on the ship, You work, we only have two shifts, 12 or 7 in the morning, they're 12 hours, 7 in the morning to 7 at night, 7 at night to 12 in the morning, or 7 in the morning. Two 12-hour shifts, that's what everybody works. So how many days you work that? Well, if we were at sea for 60 days, we did that for 60 days. Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And you know something, we'd get in that routine, and that thing was as easy to do as standing on your head. But boy, when you got your 12 hours off, you can spend the first 8 hours sleeping without any problem at all. Amen? People just don't work enough anymore. I'm just working too hard. I seriously doubt it. I'm putting in too many hours. No, you're not. Amen? Amen. If you're not working more than 12 or 14 hours a day, you're not working too much. Well, that's pretty weak. I think I've hit me a stump here. It is time to plow, Lord. May I plow? In the sweat of thy face. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat thy breads until thou return unto the earth. You're supposed to work and sweat. Amen? An idle mind is the devil's playhouse. Hands with nothing to do will find mischief to do. You need to stay busy. You need to stay committed. You need to work, 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 work. And if you're not working at a job, then you ought to be working for somebody, working at something. Amen? First way to get over the blues is to get busy and do something. I'll tell you something else that's a good help to getting rid of the blues. Listen to God's music. Amen. They say music calms the heart of the savage beast. And there's a lot of truth in that. Music is it's a medicine. And it does things that pills can't do. Because music can reach down and touch your soul. Now, you got to listen to the right kind. Why anybody that's a little depressed and down in the mouth? I used to sit when I was in the Navy, we'd go overseas. We were in Sasebo, Japan one time. I was on shore patrol. And I went in this little Japanese bar to make sure everybody's in there behaving himself. And the guy's sitting over there, and he's sitting at the table, and his head's down. He's all problem. He got about 8 or 10 beer bottles in front of him. And he's sitting there, and I went over to make sure he was okay. You know, just took my little nightstick and touched him. You know, he looked up. And if they put your head down, you got to lock them up. You know, as long as they can hold their head up, we leave them alone. And this guy's sitting there, but I made sure he was awake and sober and all that. And when he raised his head up, there was tears running down his eyes. So I sat down there and talked to him a minute, and he's just lonely and missing his wife and his kids. We'd been gone about 7 or 8 months, and he just had the blues, you know. And I thought, ain't no wonder, son. You come in the one bar in all of Sasebo, Japan, where the only music they play is Hank Williams. They're sitting there playing Your Cheating Heart. He's 12,000 miles from home. The next song that came on was Scenes from Life's Other Side, about this old gambler sitting at a table, you know, and he's lost all of his money, and he takes his mama's wedding band out of his pocket and puts it in the on the table, and he loses the hand. Ain't no wonder you're depressed. Listen, look at what you're listening to. Won't you get you some good godly music? Something upbeat. Don't listen to long-haired dead stuff. Don't read all that or listen to all that stuff about everybody's cheating and everybody's running around and drinking liquor and all this that. Now find you something upbeat, something positive. Get some of God's music. Yeah. Amen. Turn on the Christian radio and find some good Southern gospel music. Listen to that stuff. It helps you. It picks your spirits up. Now, every Christian ought to pass a law. You ought to pass. And no music in your house. No music in your house except God's music. Amen. 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 You say, preacher, is it a sin to listen? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that. But I know this ain't good for you. Amen. Amen. All that music. I want that music to lift me up. I want that music to draw me closer to God. I want that music to make me feel good. I want that music that talks about home and heaven. I want that music that talks about coming up out of the grave. I want that music that talks about no more death and ain't no grave going to hold my body down. And when we cross Chili Jordan, you know, that's what I want, something to make me feel good. And music is supposed to make you feel good. And if it doesn't make you feel good, it's the wrong kind of music. People say, well, I don't care much about music. I never listen to it. Well, good night. No wonder you got a problem. Listen, back over there, one of the first things God ever did was invented music. Go back over there and read the book of Job. Look at chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41. Oh, Lucifer over there, when he got created, he had the pipes and the trumpets and all that, and that guy was the head of the choir up in glory. When all the morning stars sang. Music's been around longer than you have. Music was used to lift up and glorify God before God ever made man. If you got a problem with depression and that kind of stuff, get you some good old cathedral quartets and Gold City and some of that stuff and listen to some good, upbeat, positive gospel music. Wouldn't hurt to turn your TV off for a few days either. If you want to overcome the blues, get busy. Listen to God's music. I'll tell you what will help you stay upbeat. Talk to the right kind of people. Amen. Now, there's some people that you don't need to talk to. I say, well, preacher, I try to treat everybody right. I'm friends with everybody. Well, good. Glory to God. You ought to treat everybody decent. Amen. The lowest down piece of white trash on the street, I'd be a gentleman to him. I try to be as civil and nice to him as I would to you. I don't think you ought to make any distinction. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's some people that are just always down. They're always negative. They're always whining. When you get around them, they depress you. They never got anything good to say. They don't like anybody. You ever been around folks like, I mean, just, you were around them for about 30 minutes, man, you just feel like you've been run over with a truck. So I felt pretty good when I come in here, but 30 minutes with Lewis and I feel like hell. When you run across somebody like that, you say, well, my mama's like that. Then stay away from your mama. I'm serious at heart. You think I'm joking? No, I'm not joking. Call her up on the telephone, tell her how much you love her, and make sure everything's okay, and then hang up. Turn on some Southern gospel music. I'm not hanging around with, I'm not being tied up with, I'm not fellowshipping and spend a lot of time with people that are always whining and crying and complaining and mully grubbing. Good night, I got enough problem with that myself. Amen. I don't need nobody to help me or encourage me. Amen. You say, well, you know, I love old so-and-so to death, but honest to goodness, every time I get around them, they just got to talk about somebody. Do yourself a favor, sweetheart. Don't get around them anymore. Amen. Well, that'll hurt their feelings. Well, they're hurting mine. Amen. Amen. Which one's worse? Me feel bad or them feel bad? I opt for them. Amen. Man, you damage yourself, you put yourself at risk of depression of your own when you hang around people who are depressive. If they're not positive. I mean, I know everybody gets down in the mouth every now and then. That's just normal. But some of them people, I mean, that's just the way they are. They're not happy unless they're sad. They're not happy unless they're whining about somebody. They always got to be putting somebody down or saying something bad about them. And you know, and they're so good at it, they'll say, you know, brother, and I don't say nothing about this because I don't mean nothing because I love Tommy to death. You know, I just think the world of him. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes. Oh, how transparent we are sometimes, you know. That guy's got a beef, right? And now he's gonna unload on me about how sorry and good for nothing Tommy is. Well, I don't need nobody to tell me that. I know that on my own. You understand what I'm talking about? I guarantee you know people like that. Stay away from them. You say, but I like them. What do you like about them? What do you like about them? You like to hear them whine? Now, listen, if you want to be mentally sound yourself, there's some people you just need to avoid. Amen? I mean, when you see them, be polite, be courteous, keep it brief, hit it on the run, and find you somebody that's upbeat and positive all the time. Yeah. Now, you're going to think I lost my mind, but this is an important thing. Do you know, a lot of times your mood, your psychological state, is dependent in large measure on how you feel about yourself. Amen. And have you ever noticed that when people get despondent or depressed or they're having a bad day or whatever it is, they don't shave and they don't fix up. Women don't put on their makeup. They don't get dressed up. They run around in their grubbies all day. Have you ever noticed that you tend to feel how you look? You get dressed up, shaved and cleaned up, put on a little Aqua Velva, you know, or some of that Old Spice, some of that high dollar stuff, you know, and get yourself all cleaned up, take a shower. You look at life differently. Amen? You go downtown and you got on an old pair of sneakers and they're dirty and run down, and an old pair of breeches and they're all baggy and got holes in them, and an old sweatshirt and got paint spilled all over it, and you hadn't shaved in 2 or 3 days and you forgot to brush your teeth this morning. You look like the devil and you act like the devil, and you portray that image to everybody that comes in contact with you. So I went down to Lowe's yesterday. They act like they didn't want to wait on me. Well, I don't blame them. You look like a refugee. Amen. You can increase or help your image of yourself and the way you look at life by cleaning up and fixing up. My wife said, I went to the golf course yesterday. First thing I did yesterday morning, I got up, brushed my teeth, and took a shower and shaved. Now, I don't need to do any of that to go play golf. But you know what I found? I've tried it. I'm telling the honest truth now. I play better when I clean up. I comb my hair and shave, and I go out there, and I look like a gentleman, you know, and I feel good about myself. I play better. I go out there in the evening sometime. I get off from work and play, and I've got a stubble of beard. My hair is all messed up and breath's bad. I just don't feel as confident. You say, well, that's just psychological. What do you think we're talking about? What do you think my PhD is in? Dress up, fix up. You ladies get up somewhere and you're feeling down in the mouth and the kids are gone from home and you don't have any purpose in life anymore and the husband doesn't pay you much attention anymore. Why don't you get up in the morning and take a shower and clean up? Shave your underarms, shave your legs, fix your hair, put on a little perfume, a little Estee Lauder or Youth Dew or some of that White Diamonds or Obsession or Red Door. Buy them some good perfume, fella, and fix yourself up and fix your face, put on a little foundation, fix them eyes, a little mascara, a little underliner, a little shadow, a little foundation, and get all fixed up and put on a nice, clean, crisp dress, and I guarantee you feel better about yourself. I guarantee you that you'll have a better outlook about the day. Amen? And by the way, the more you got going on and the worse things are, the more you need to help yourself. Amen. Amen? Well, I just don't feel like doing that. Well, do it anyhow and you'll feel better because you did. Amen. Dress brighter, fix up. Let me give you something else that'll help you. I'm over time, ain't I? But I'm having such fun. Let me give you these three things as quick as I can. Number one, read good books. Start with the Bible. Now, maybe you're not a real Bible reader. A lot of Southerners aren't. Southerners don't read much. I mean, they read funny papers. They read Hagar the Horrible. They read cheap paperback novels. But Southerners don't read real books. They don't read technical manuals. They don't read philosophy. They just read trash. The average Southerner just doesn't read anything worth reading. If it's got any content to it or any purpose in it, we're not interested in it. Amen? And consequently, you talk to the average Southerner and they're pretty ill-informed on most things. They don't know it. There's a saying that covers them. It said, them that don't know they don't know. and never was that more true than down here in the South. Read some good books. Start with the Bible. If you're not a Bible reader, if you're not much of a reader, let me give you some help on where to read. Read the book of Psalms. If you got trouble, if you're down in the mouth, if things are not going well, the best place you ever looked in your life is in the book of Psalms. Amen? And if Psalms doesn't cheer you up, read the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is all about the deity of Christ. It's not about on sin and a whole bunch of other stuff like Matthew and Mark and Luke and all that stuff. That thing is on Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And there's something about reading about Jesus Christ and His deity and why He came into this world. There's something lifting up about that. There's something exalting about that. You cannot read the Gospel of John and not get pumped up. Amen? And if you've got the standard problems in life, they're all addressed in the book of Psalms. Read that thing. Read that thing. And then you get tired of reading your Bible, buy some good books and read them. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get anything off television worth listening to. Dr. Phil is an idiot. I'm serious, a heart attack. That guy ought to be took out and strung up. All he's doing is making a living. That's all he's doing. They ought to get phonies like him and bury him someplace. Amen? You don't need to listen to guys like that. There's nothing on that television that's stimulating. You say, well, what about all them TV preachers? Why, all them TV preachers on there to make money. Amen? The only one I know of that's got a regular program that's not in it for the money is Charles Stanley. Now, I'll be honest with you. The average Christian can get some help from Charles Stanley. You really can. He's not deep. He's milk and toast, but he's straight. I mean, if you can't find nobody else, listen to Charles Stanley. He won't say nothing that's wrong. I mean, he's shallow, but he's right. You won't get hurt listening to Charles Stanley. Help yourself. Amen. But other than that, find you some good books. I'm not talking about Benny Hinn either. Now, if you got real problems, let me say something else that'll help you. Pray. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes I had somebody to talk to. I just wish somebody would listen to me and let me pour out my problems. If they could just see what I've got to put up with. If they just knew what I was going through. If people just knew how bad I felt. Can't get nobody to listen, can you? Well, I don't want to hear it either. Now, I get paid to listen, so I'll listen. But most folks ain't going to listen to your problems. You know why? They got their own. And you come around and start spilling your guts about how bad things are, man, they want to take a hike on you. Amen? Just like you do when they come around dumping on you. Oh, man, I thought I was never going to get rid of that guy. All he did from the minute he walked up, man, I don't need that. I got to get through the day myself. Hello? Jesus will listen. So, well, preacher, I tried that and it didn't work for me. It was just like I was talking to the wall. Well, you were talking to the wall, stupid. What do you think when you go in that room, get down on your knees and get right here and get on your face? Who do you think you're talking to? You're talking to the wall. Now, what you got to do is you got to pray long enough that you forget you're on your knees and talking to the wall. You got to pray long enough till your spirit is lifted and you're talking to God. You know what happens? You know why most people don't get anything out of praying? One, they don't pray often enough. Two, they don't pray honest enough. Three, they don't pray long enough. They quit before they get the job done. Well, I talked to God for 10 minutes and he didn't say a mumbling word. That's because he didn't like nothing you had to say. Did you start out bragging on him? Did you start out with giving thanks to him? Well, did you start out being grateful to him? Or did you just start out whining and crying about how bad it is and all the problems you've got and then you need some help? I wouldn't listen to you either. I mean, God's a psychological being. Listen, you start praying, you want God to be real to you, and start out being thankful. Start out being grateful. Amen. Remember what he's done and appreciate it and let him know about it and brag on his son a little while. Boy, you won't turn God's head, brag on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You want to see me light up? Come in and brag on my family. Tell me how great my grandkids are and how pretty they are and how talented they are and how polite they were. Probably you got more insight than I gave you credit for, buddy. Amen. You want God to listen? Talk about Jesus Christ. Brag on him a while. Amen. And then dump on him. Then, now, Lord, I've said all that, but I tell you, I got this problem here. And lay out your complaint. And God's more inclined to say, you know something? You got a problem here. Let me help you with that. Pray. And then pray some more. Amen. You say, well, it just sounded like my prayers were hitting the ceiling and falling in the floor. Well, pray till you knock a hole in the ceiling. You got to pray till you get your heart right. It would help to start by believing that God's going to listen. Amen. Last but not least, if you're trying to bounce the blues or manage the mully grubs or dump depression or master melancholy, you need to avoid routine and negative things. It's hard to get up when everything is down. And if you go to places that you normally associate with bad things or bad memories, it's not going to help you get up. You know what they tell you when you're trying to quit smoking? Now, buddy, anybody's trying to quit smoking, you've got a demon there that's just, I mean, that's a real monster. Now, I'll be quite honest with you, there's nothing to quitting smoking. When I quit smoking, I could quit it, I quit 100 times. It was staying quit, it was hard. See why? Because they tell you when you quit, if you smoke a cigarette after you eat dinner, as soon as you get through, go take a shower. Don't sit there where you always had a cigarette or two. If you always walked out on the back porch and burnt one of them Pall Mall Reds, I always liked them because if you was drunk, you could light them either end, no danger. Amen. If you always went out on the back porch and had one or two, after a meal, change your routine. If you're one of them people, you get the kids in bed, ladies, and everything's quiet and everything's all taken care of, and you finally getting to relax, and you get in the shower and you get you a book, you run you a tub of hot water, and you like to sit there till it gets cold, you know, and read and smoke three, four, or half a pack or whatever it is. Take a 5-minute shower and stay out of that tub. Amen. So what he said, I'm saying don't go where you usually go. Don't go to the same places. Well, if you're trying to get rid of depression, don't go to the places that bring up negative thoughts. Don't go to the places that bring up memories of depression. Don't hang around with people that you had bad times or hard feelings with. Change your association. Change your routine. You got to help yourself. Well, I just turned it all over to God. I talked to a lady the other day, and she told me she turned everything over to God. I said, well, what if he don't want it? You ever think about that? Maybe God don't want the mess you got. Not his mess. He didn't make it. What makes you think? You say, I'm just going to leave it with the Lord. What does that mean? I've been saved 35 years and preaching for 34. I can't figure out what that means. I just turned it all over to God. Then how come I keep having to pay the bills and work out the details? How come God ain't doing that? I don't know what they mean by that. That's just a cheap out. That's what that is. Amen? Amen. Now, I guarantee you, sooner or later, for some reason or another, for some time or another, you're going to have the blues. Or you're going to be a little depressed. Or you're going to have some melancholy. We go through that change of life thing. Women go through it. Men go through it. We call it the middle-aged crazies. And they get depressed. The life is passing them by. And I'm stuck with this same old woman. And she don't appreciate me. And I'm sick of that stuff. Sooner or later, you're going to have occasion to not be your normal, upbeat, cheerful self. And there is no magic pill you can take to fix it. And running off and marrying a younger woman ain't going to do it. Changing jobs ain't going to do it. Running off and leaving your family and moving across country ain't going to do it. You're just going to wake up with a new set of problems in a new place. You got to learn to deal with it where you're at, when you're there. And you got to help yourself. There's an old adage that says, God helps them that help themselves. And sometimes I watch people and they've got emotional problems and they're down in the mouth and they're despondent and they're ready to quit on God and they're ready to quit on their family and they're ready to quit on life. And I look at them and I feel sorry for them. I empathize with them. But honest truth is, it looks like they've done it to themselves on purpose. They didn't do anything to help themselves. Part of it is left up to us. You got to do what you can to help yourself and then trust God to make up what you can't do. Amen? Listen, God will let you go as far as you can taking care of yourself. And then when you can't go any further, God steps in and makes up the difference. But he ain't toting your load all by himself so you can skate. You got to use your head. Amen. And when those issues in life come up, whether it's chemical or situational or related to age and those kind of things, you got to do the best you can to get yourself through it. You got to be smart. You got to use your head. Somebody say amen. 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 All right. That's Psychology 101 tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Lewis.